Second Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And the Bible is full of stories and accounts of individuals who were faced with the weight of fear. Today I want to preach a message entitled, Losing the Weight of Fear. Fear will paralyze you. I can remember as a kid, some of you probably have had this experience as well, that at night you would be in your room as a child, and you know, I would be in my room, and of course that I never had a nightlight. I don't know. Well, maybe I did. I don't remember, but growing up, my memory is not too good these days. But you know, growing up, I can remember being dark in my room and living in the country. You know, as we did, there were all kinds of trees and shadows and all kinds of things. And you know, I can remember at that point just kind of taking a look at night. I'm laying down, and you know, the moon is lit, and you know, the moonlight's coming through the window, and all of a sudden I'm taking a look at my closet, and it seems like, you know, the closet door is open, and it seems like all of a sudden, you know, my clothes moved, and I am you know, just trying to kind of get some idea of why it seems like my clothes are moving. But by this time, just a small amount of fear is set into my heart, so much so that I'm not going to get out of my bed and go check. And, you know, the wind might have been blowing and the trees might have been moving a little bit, and all of a sudden the shadows were there, and I look down and I see my sneakers at the bottom of the closet, and I'm kind of looking to see what's going on, and I think there is somebody in my closet. And so my young childlike mind begins to race, and I begin to think, the boogeyman is in my closet. You know? Right? You know, come on, anybody awake here today? Boogeyman, what's that? I don't. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Anybody remember their childhood here today? Come on, I know you do. And you think, oh no, somebody is in my closet. What am I going to do? And you begin to think about what it is. And I remember thinking, as a child, thinking, you know, I could call out to my dad. But, you know, my dad's getting older. He's not moving that fast these days. And I could call out to my dad, and my dad would come, and he could, you know, for sure he could take the boogeyman. But then I thought, if, you know, if I call out to my dad before he gets here, I'm a goner. I mean, it's lights out. So I think, I can't call to him. I can't call up because he's going to know that I know he's in my closet. So I begin to think, what else can I do? I think, well, I could run. But no, he's right in my closet. I got to go by the closet to get to my bedroom door, to get out the door and get out of the house. He's going to catch me. So I have the perfect solution to my fear. I pull the covers up over my head and think, thank God I'm safe. The covers are up over my head. Now he'll never know that I know that he's there. And eventually, as a child, you know, you fall asleep. You drift off to sleep. Fear is an amazing thing, and that little story actually is true. It actually did happen to me many nights. As I lay down and I began to try to fall asleep, being afraid of the dark, I can remember other nights walking home after being at a friend's house, and I would take a shortcut rather than have my parents come pick me up. You know, I thought I was so brave, you know, and I would take this shortcut from my friend John London's house. John lived in another part of town. There was a shortcut that shortened the distance by at least a mile and a half. It was like just a, you know, if you take a direct shot, we were only lived about a half a mile from each other, but if you had to travel by bicycle or car, you had to go on the roads, and that was maybe a couple of miles. So I just said, well, I'm going to cut through this logging road, and I'm going to walk home. And every now and then, I would find that, I would just get out there, and you know how we are? We kind of, I don't know, you know, not growing up in the country, you might not have gone through this. So, you know, we kind of, what I did is I sort of started singing out loud, or I'd hum out loud, or I'd whistle, or I'd, you know, make a whole lot of noise, because I was worried that if there was an animal in the woods that, you know, maybe that they would be afraid of the noise that I was making. And I can remember when starting out on the journey being so very brave. And by the time I got to where I could see my house, but I was still a distance away, I was on a dead sprint. I mean, I was so scared because I was hearing crackling sounds in the woods. And, you know, living in the northern Maine woods was just, it's beautiful, but at night it's creepy. I feel safer. I got to tell you, I feel safer here in the city than I do sometimes when I go back home and it's just dark. There are no street lights. There's no nothing. It's just creepy. It's creepy. Yeah, you know, at least here in the alleys, you got lights. You get, you know. But I remember being so afraid. But you know what? Fear does something to us. It paralyzes us. It keeps us from doing the things that we know we need to do. In fact, I know that my fear could have been calmed had I called my mother or my father when I was afraid in the room, and yet I was afraid even to call on them. And that oftentimes is what fear does to us. Fear so overtakes our lives that we feel even afraid to call on the Lord. I say, Pastor, are you perfect in this? No, I'm not. There are times in my life where the fear will overtake to the point where it's like, God, I can't even pray. And thank God he knows our thoughts. Thank God he's a merciful God. Thank God he's a God who loves us and puts up with our humanity and understands our humanity more than anybody else, because he gently prods us. He gently brings peace from time to time. There are some strange and funny, I say funny, they're not funny to a point, because phobias can be very real to people. I have a phobia of heights. I am absolutely afraid of heights. I remember a few years ago, after 9/11, there were all kinds of documentaries on the Twin Towers in New York. But one of the documentaries documented this young man who went up on top of the Twin Towers and walked the tightrope across them back in the just shortly after they were built in the 70s, a little Frenchman who went up there, he goes across on a tightrope. And actually, the amazing thing was, they took video of it. The amazing thing was, is as he was going across, he actually jumped on the tightrope between the Twin Towers. It was a remarkable feat for anybody who has that. And I thought, how can this man have no fear? And I'm sitting here watching a documentary in the comfort of my own home, and physically the fear is affecting me. Literally. That's how afraid of heights I am, watching this thing and what he was going to do, and how he would go up. He'd go up and sit right up on top of one of the Twin Towers and sit there and just imagine himself going across on a tightrope, and eventually he did it. And I would sit there and literally feel physical pain. Phobias are real. They're absolutely real. But there are some that are strange. If we can just shut all the cell phones, turn them off, do what we need to do, that way we don't have a great deal of distraction. But I'm not going to pronounce these very well. I'm sure I'm not. Pelidophobia. Anybody ever heard of that? Pelidophobia. It is a fear of bald people. A fear of bald people. Now, there are a few of us who are naturally going that direction. Some just don't fight it. They just shave. Right, Nate? You know? And George, why fight it? I'm getting close to where you're at. I'm getting close to just being so fed up. I just get the razor out and go to it. But, you know, there are a few of us heading that way. All of a sudden, you see us coming and jump back. Fear of bald people. Pogonophobia. which is a fear of beards. A fear of beards. I was contemplating growing one, but I shaved it this morning. This is a very strange fear. Chromatophobia. Chromatophobia. I know. I don't know, Gene. But it's not a fear of chrome. It's a fear of money. A fear of money. How many got that? I didn't think so. Now, this is an interesting one. If my mother-in-law were here, I would have fun with this. Pantherophobia. This is a fear of mother-in-law. This is probably more common than you think. A fear of the mother-in-law. That's a good one. This is some that affects many, 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 many people. Phronemophobia. It is a fear of thinking. A fear of thinking. And some of you might suffer from this next one, ergophobia. Can anybody figure out what that might be? A fear of work. A fear of work. You know, get a note from your psychiatrist to give to your job. You know? I don't know. Fear of work. Cyberophobia. A lot of people have that. Some don't, some do. Fear of computers. Deathly afraid of them. Afraid of what they can do. Afraid of what they can't do. Here's another one. Ephebophobia. Ephebophobia. There will be a test later, by the way. Ephebophobia, I'm kidding. It's a fear of teenagers, which made me kind of wonder if you had this fear, were you afraid of yourself when you were a teenager? I don't know. I wonder. This is... This I can't even pronounce this one. But did you know there is, I'm not even going to try. But did you know that there was a fear of chopsticks? There is a phobia over chopsticks. A phobia about chopsticks. This is owlophobia. 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 A fear of flutes. A fear of flutes. This one I'm not going to try to pronounce, but did you know there is actually a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth? I remember eating peanut butter one time as a kid, and that actually happened. It was a little scary for a minute, but I don't have a phobia about that. This is a phobophobia. Probably guess what that is. It's a fear of developing phobias. But this is my favorite. This is my favorite. This is a homilophobia. A homilophobia. You know what that is? It's a fear of sermons. And if I see any of you run out, we will pray for you for this phobia. It's a fear of sermons. Clearly, you say, Pastor, you ain't got that one. I think you need to get it a little more because you haven't gotten out of your introduction yet. You know, there is a German proverb that says, fear makes the wolf bigger than he is. Fear makes the wolf bigger than he is. And that is absolutely true. Somebody once said that if you put fear as an acronym or an acrostic, put it down, it literally stands for false evidence appearing real. And often, that is what our fear really is. That we become afraid of things that are not going to happen. Our fears are often spent dealing with things that don't ever come to be. Or they don't work in the way that we thought they were going to work. That it doesn't play out the way that we thought. But I want you to go now. I trust that you are in your Bibles at 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want to read this little story to you. It's not a little story, it's an account, a true account of what took place. The prophet Elisha had been giving the location by divine revelation. God had been revealing to him the location of the Samaritan army. The Syrian armies, the king of Aram, or Syria, to the Israelites. And the king of Aram got really upset about this, said, who among us is giving our location? And they said, nobody. But there is a prophet. Well, let's read it. Starting at verse 8, the Bible says this, now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of the officers. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Now notice this young man. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. That is the question of fear. What shall we do? Verse 16. Notice the immediate response from the prophet Elisha. And Elisha prayed, don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes, servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You can see that the instant fear became an instant wait. Fear is one of those things that can be built up in your life, or it is one of those things that can come on you suddenly. For this servant who woke up in the morning and went out, maybe he was going out to get Elisha's coffee. Maybe he was going out to, you know, to do something to help the man of God. And all of a sudden he looks out and he sees nothing but horses and chariots and soldiers sitting on them, and they're surrounding the entire city. And immediately he thinks, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of all of this? You see, fear is an incredible weight. One, because it blinds you from seeing the reality of God's presence. Fear blinds you to the reality of seeing God's presence. When that servant woke up that morning and he looked out his window and he noticed that surrounding the city, the walled city, he looked out and he saw surrounding that city there were soldiers that were sitting on horses. They were there with chariots and they did not come to have tea. They came for one reason, to get rid of Elisha, to take him. And immediately fear struck his heart. Fear came on this man suddenly, and it became a weight that weighed on him to the point where it blinded him from ever being able to see the reality that God was still with them in their situation. But I want you to see what it says, because Elisha says this, and he says it because he knows and he understands that God was with them. In verse 16, we read it. It says, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Can you imagine in that moment when fear is overtaking this young man's heart and he's looking out and all he sees is horses and chariots and soldiers that have come and they're bent on doing harm. He looks out and he sees it and he says, what in the world is Elisha seeing? But brothers and sisters, when you can get past fear and you can get into the realm of faith, you can begin to see that when God shows up, He will far outnumber the problems in your life. He will far outnumber the difficulties that you are faced with. And He will far outnumber those that have come and are bent on doing evil and hurting you. Fear is such a weight because it does rob you of the ability to see the greatness of the power of God. How God is able to do something beyond what you could ever imagine or think. And the Bible lets us know this. I love the mercy of God in this, because the Bible lets us know that as soon as Elisha prayed, the young man lifted up his eyes, and all of a sudden he began to see what Elisha saw, that he began to see something that was spiritual and something that was greater and something that was more powerful, and basically that said, I don't have to be afraid of these guys who have swords and spears, and they have chariots, and they have all kinds of things of war that are coming to just get one man. I don't have to be afraid of that because God is on my side. Brothers and sisters, we've got to understand that when fear weighs us down, we've got to run to the presence of the Lord. The thing that Elisha did was he prayed. The thing that Elisha did that made all the difference in his situation was he called on the name of the Lord. And there are times I realize that fear so paralyzes us that it makes us think we can't call because it's not going to change anything. But we read in Scripture that when you call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible lets us know that you will be saved. He came through. This young man all of a sudden saw something that the soldiers out there weren't seeing. I don't know if he all of a sudden said, oh, yes. You know, if he looked out and just saw the heavenly hosts that were there to protect the man of God, to protect Elisha, and to watch over him, to help him in the midst of his trouble and his difficulty. But brothers and sisters, you got to know this. You've got to know that God hasn't changed, that God will always show up for His people. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. When it seems like everybody is against you and you're surrounded by all kinds of problems, then I want you to know that the Bible tells us and it encourages us that the greatness and the power of God is always there to minister His peace and His help to each and every one of us. You need to know that God will surround you with His love. He'll surround you with His power. He will give you everything that you need in your situation. Now, fear is a powerful weight because not only does it blind you to seeing the reality of God's presence, but also fear can keep you from experiencing the victory of God that is yours. Now, turn over in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15, and then we're going to read verse 17. Because twice in the middle of this, and this is that great story of Jehoshaphat, the Bible tells us about Jehoshaphat that he had done right in the eyes of the Lord. He had taken the nation of Judah, which had been so idolatrous, and torn down idols. He had reinstituted worship. He had set up judges in cities that had essentially almost like anarchy. He had set up those who would judge the people and say, listen, we've got to institute the law. We've got to keep order in the nation. And he had done all of these things to bring about reforms and, you know, the true worship of God. He had come to that place where he had been a godly king. And then all of a sudden, one morning, he wakes up. And the same type of circumstance occurs. This little nation of Judah is all of a sudden confronted with three armies. Armies from three different surrounding nations that had come and they were bent on destroying the people of God. And he wakes up and realizes they're not far away and they're marching to battle. They're going to come and they're going to wipe us out. What are we going to do? You have to read this. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And I encourage you later on, read this. Read this in Hebrews 11. Just get in the Word. But he prays. Jehoshaphat prays. And he calls on the Lord. And he does something that no leader would ever do. None. For all these guys running for president and everybody who's jockeying for some kind of political position, not one of them would ever dare stand in front of their constituency or ever stand in front of a nation as a president and say, I don't know what to do. But King Jehoshaphat on that day stood in the presence of all the people and he prayed. And he said, Lord, I don't know what to do. But you know what, Lord? Our eyes are on you. And I got to tell you, that makes all the difference in the world when your eyes are on the Lord. When you keep your eyes fixed on him, listen to what happens. There is a sure word that comes to you. And the Bible says, as he speaks through the prophet, the Bible says in verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now look at verse 17. Once again, he says this, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Here he says it again, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You know why you don't have to be afraid? When you are confronted by things that have set themselves against you to destroy you, to bring you down, to hurt you, to bring you to a place where you would rather give up rather than go for God, you don't have to do that because the word of the Lord tells us that you don't have to be afraid because he is with you. He is with you. He promised his people. He said, you get up there and you go out because you got to know that I am with you. I'm not sending you out there. I'm walking with you. It's kind of like when David went out and faced Goliath. We always have this vision of David walking out there alone. He didn't walk out there alone to face Goliath. But instead, he went out with the Lord. The Lord took him out and walked with him every step of the way. Brothers and sisters, fear can keep you from experiencing the victory that God has from you. If they had been afraid and they had stayed home and they had said, no, we can't go out there. They're going to destroy us. They're going to take us out. It's not going to work out the way that we need it to. It's not going to happen at all. It's all going to be bad. If they have just sat back and said, we're just going to let our fear control us, then brothers and sisters, they wouldn't have gone out and seen the great victory that God had for them. Fear keeps you from experiencing victory. Fear is a weight also because fear can keep you from fulfilling God's plan for your life. Do you know that God has a plan for each and every one of you? I realize that for many it may seem difficult to understand that or to see that. Maybe you sort of envision, you know, that God has a plan for a pastor, or God has a plan for those in ministry. God has a plan for those who have decided that, you know, they're going to follow God into some area of working for him, but not for me. You know, I go to a job, I go and I work, and, you know, maybe it is that you've bounced from job to job. Maybe right now you don't have a job. You think, God has a plan for me? I want to tell you that the Bible is ever true. I don't find in Scripture where it is only for ministers that God has a plan for. It is for his people, those who will give themselves. But there is somebody in Scripture that shows us that God has a plan and a purpose, and if we allow fear, it will keep us from that plan and that purpose. The Bible tells us this. Turn over in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8. God told Jeremiah in this particular passage, don't be afraid of the people. Listen to what he says. Now, Jeremiah is a young man. God is calling him to be a prophet, and he's calling him to be a prophet to a people who aren't going to listen to him. God kind of let Jeremiah in on the fact that there were going to be people who would hear him but not listen to him. They would hear the message that he would deliver to the people, but they would not turn away from their sinful ways. And so he told him, you know, Jeremiah, you're going to preach, but nobody is going to, you know, They're not going to turn from anything that they're doing. They're not going to listen, but I want you to go and I want you to do it anyway. Listen to what the Bible says in Jeremiah 1 and verse 8. God tells Jeremiah, he says, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. Don't be afraid of the people that you are going to face, Jeremiah, because I have a plan, and my plan means if you're walking with me and you're walking in my plan, I am going to be with you." And he says, when you're faced with struggles and difficulties and problems in your life, you need to know this, that not only am I with you, but I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to help you. Jesus told the disciples on one occasion when they were concerned about what it was that, you know, would happen to them. Jesus said, listen, you're going to face persecution. You're going to be dragged before councils. You're going to be dragged before religious leaders of the day. And you are going to have to give an answer for what it is that you believe and why you believe it. And he says, he said to them on that day, he said, don't be afraid of what you're going to say, because the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you. In other words, I am not going to leave you to fend for yourself. I've got a plan for your life, and I'm going to go with you. You see, there are so many people today who are not doing what God wants them to do because they're afraid. Why? I can't do that. No, pastor. I can't be involved in that ministry because that's just not my thing. Oh, I'm afraid to do that. Well, we don't say we're afraid. We just say, oh, that's not my thing. You know what we're saying? I'm afraid. You know, if God wants you to do something, he's dropped something into your heart, don't push it away and say, God, I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid. If you're going to tell God you're afraid, you know what he's going to say to you? Don't be afraid. Bottom line, you know, it's not real deep, is it? Yeah. And God doesn't have to be deep, just true and faithful. And he will always be with you to accomplish what it is that he desires for your life. He wants to speak through you, folks. He wants to use you. And if Jeremiah said, nope, I'm too scared. Moses tried the same nonsense with God. And God put up with it and said, fine. You say you can't speak. You have some kind of an impediment that you don't feel comfortable in speaking for me. Then here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to send Aaron with you. And you're going to tell Aaron. And Aaron's going to tell Pharaoh what to say. A little bit later on, we don't ever really see Aaron speaking that much. Only at the time where it was, you know, let my people go, let my people go. You get into the wilderness and you don't see Aaron speaking for Moses very much. You see Moses speaking. You know why? Because I believe there came a point where God so touched Moses and brought about a change in his life that let him know, if I've got a plan for your life, you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to touch you and help you. There was a young man at Zion Bible College, the Bible college I attended a number of years ago. When he came to Zion, he had a speech impediment that was, I felt so bad for him from time to time because he had a hard time holding a conversation. You could tell he got frustrated. And then there came the time, the students all knew this, he was such a wonderful, wonderful guy. He loved the Lord, he served the Lord, but he wanted to be in ministry. And he wanted to preach, he wanted to, you know, to stand up and deliver messages and minister to people. His name was Brian, and Brian, all of a sudden, it came time for Brian's senior sermon. You could kind of sense the collective tension in the student body in that chapel service when they knew that Brian was going to have to preach. They thought, this is not going to be easy for this guy. And all of a sudden, Brian stood up, and nobody realized anything. Nobody knew what had happened. But all of a sudden, about, you know, 5 minutes into his message, 5 minutes into his sermon, Brian just stopped for a minute and realized, and he said to the student body, he said, I just realized that I've been talking for the last 5 minutes and I have not once had any problem with my speech. Brothers and sisters, when God has a plan for your life, he will fulfill your plan. And he touched him from that moment forward. He never had a problem ever again. He touched him in that moment because when God's got a plan, he's going to go with you and he's going to help you. Fear. Turn over in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 8. Fear can be a weight because it can keep you from prevailing at the point of your past failure. From prevailing at the point of your past failure. In other words, you get to the point where you failed before, and you say, I failed in that thing once before, I can't do it again. Fear will keep you from getting past that failing point. That mark in your life where it says, this is what you've done, this is how you've let people down, or this is how you've let God down, or this is where you have just not been able to do what it is that you thought you could do and you failed. But now you've got to go that same way again. And you think, I'm not going to be able to get past it. I'm going to fail right at that point because that's how I failed in the past. That's fear talking. And God is about to tell Joshua what to do when he is faced with that. Now, earlier in the Bible tells us in the book of Joshua, chapter 6 and 7, chapter 7, it tells us they went up against this little city of Ai. And this little city of Ai, all of a sudden, the people of Israel defeated Jericho. You know, the walls of Jericho came down, you know, at the mighty shout, and they went in, they plundered the city, they're taking the land as God had ordered them to do and told them to do and promised to them. They had this great victory, so they just got a small group of people together, and they went up to Ai. And all of a sudden, Ai beats the living daylights right out of them, and they are chased away. Men of Israel die in the battle, and all of a sudden they come back with their tail between their legs saying, what in the world happened? We can't do this. But I want you to see what God says to Joshua. Chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you. You see, part of their problem was they went up against this little city of Ai, and they didn't bother praying. They didn't bother seeking God. They didn't bother saying, Lord, how do you want us to approach this? What do you want us to do? He says, now take the whole army with you. Go up and attack Ai, for I've delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if Joshua said, but God, that's where we failed. We can't go back there. That's where we just can't do it, God. We're afraid. There's some tough guys in that little city. We can't go out there. I can't do it. And fear keeps you from getting past the point and prevailing at the point of your past failure. Brothers and sisters, you might have failed in the past, but it doesn't mean you're going to fail at that same point in the future. God is going to be with you. He's going to help you. And when you begin to trust in the Lord and you call on the Lord and you say, God, you got to give me help. It might be that you might have started something in the past and you failed. You say, well, that's the way things go in my life. That's just how I am in my life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. Do not let fear rule you and keep you from going and experiencing the victory that God has. Now, there is one final thing why fear is such an incredible weight. And it is because fear can cause you to listen to the word of the enemy rather than the word of God. It can deafen you. It can attune your ear to the wrong thing. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. There is a message that comes to King Hezekiah from an intimidating king by the name of King Sennacherib. Sennacherib was the Assyrian king, and he was bent on destroying the people of God. He was absolutely bent on taking them out. And he had sent letters to the people of Judah and the people came out of their houses and their cities, and all of a sudden there was this representative from Assyria, and he's reading off this mean letter to the Israelites saying, why, you know, why are you trusting in God? Why are you trusting in King Hezekiah? He's leading you astray. And don't you know that I'm King Sennacherib and I've gone into these other nations? And what god of their nations was ever able to stop me? What makes you think that I am able to stop you? On one occasion, one of the Israelite officials said to him, please don't read in their native language. Can you just read it in your language? I understand it. I'll deliver the message to the king. But he was like, I'm not going to do that. I want everybody to hear my intimidating message. I want them to all be afraid of me. The Bible says this, starting at verse 5 of 2 Kings 19. It says, when King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen, I am going to put such a spirit in him that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country, and there I will have him cut down with the sword. And that, brothers and sisters, is exactly how it ended. The king of Assyria got word of another invading army coming to his land. He goes home, he goes into the temple of his false god, and there is killed by his own sons. You need to know, brothers and sisters, that the word of the Lord is more sure and more powerful. When the enemy shows up with a letter from the message from hell for your life and says, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to bring you down, I'm going to so discourage you that you're going to want to give up on God and you're going to want to give up serving him, you need to know today that the word of the Lord is more powerful than the letter from hell. It will make all the difference if you will listen to what God has to say and not be afraid of what it is that the devil just read off to you and said how he's going to destroy you. God is greater than anything that you and I could ever face. The word of the Lord is more powerful than any word that can come from the doctors or from your job or from anywhere else. It is more powerful and will help you and encourage you. You need to, this is why we got to know the book. This is why we have to read the word of the Lord. This is why it's right here. God has put it in black and white for us to go to every day and find strength and help, because the word of the Lord is more powerful and more real. Brothers and sisters, don't let fear keep you from the word. Don't let fear cause you to dwell on what the devil has said and dwell on what others say. But let the word of the Lord sink into your life and change you and revolutionize your life. We got to have the word. Isaiah said, now you got to listen to this. You got to hear this. You go tell your master. You go tell King Hezekiah. This is what God says. This is what God has to say about your problem. Somebody showed up and said, but this is what I have to say. This is what I have to say. You go to the word of God and say, now God, what do you got to say? And God every time will come through with a word of the Lord for you. You need to believe in what God has written in his holy word. So the question is, how are we going to lose the weight of fear? How are we going to do it? I got to tell you, it's so simple that it frustrates many people how simple it is. They got to make it more difficult. But you know what? The Bible indicates, and these are the words of Jesus, and it's essentially this: come to the one who can lift any burden from you. You've got a weight of fear that's weighing on you, then you come to the one who is able to lift that weight from off of your shoulders. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you know why we don't often have rest in our souls, in our lives, in our daily lives? It's because we're not coming to him. That's the long and the short of it. You say, well, if this situation works this way, I'll have peace. Will you? Will you really? Because you know what? In the middle of that situation where you think the grass might be greener on the other side of the fence, there might be other kinds of problems that you're going to face. And all of a sudden, what are you going to do when you're burdened down and you're weighed down by the difficulties that that situation presents? So the thing that we've got to do is we've got to learn to come to Him who is able to lift the burden from you. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We got to come to the one who became just like you to free you from the fear of death. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And the thing is when we come to Him, we've got to remember that He became just like one of us. You see, when Jesus walked this earth, He walked this earth. You know, His feet got dirty and dusty. He was wearing sandals. He got dusty and dirty. He said, you know, the Son of Man, on one occasion, the Son of Man, referring to Himself, doesn't have anywhere to lay His head at night to sleep. He got tired. He got hungry. He ate. He, you know, felt the pain when He was nailed to the cross, like you would feel pain if you were in that horrific situation. He felt all of those things. Listen to what the Bible says, starting at verse 14. I want to read down through verse 18, but there is one verse of Scripture that I really want you to see. The Bible says this, "Since the children have flesh and blood, He too," the children meaning humanity, "He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death." That is the devil. Now look at verse 15. "And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." There are people walking this planet today who are so afraid of dying. And yet the incredible thing is, the amazing thing is, there isn't anybody on this planet who can stop it from happening. It will happen one way or another. It's going to happen at one point in your life or another. Death will come. And yet the Bible says that that fear is like a slavery that you've got to be freed from. And in fact, it's talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ and how it was that He came to deliver you from that fear. How did He do that? Well, He did that by dying on the cross and then rising from the grave on the third day. In other words, letting us know that there is going to be a resurrection. The resurrection, brothers and sisters, ought to give each and every one of us hope who will go by way of the grave one day, to let us know that if Jesus died and was raised from the dead, the Bible is true and lets us know that we will also rise. Let me keep reading. "And free those of us who all their lives were held in slavery by fear, their fear of death. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants." We're Abraham's descendants because of our faith. Not necessarily because of our physical lineage, but because of faith. "For this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people." Look at verse 18. "Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted." Brothers and sisters, the greatest hope we have is to come to the one who understands exactly what it's like to be as human as we are. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So you've got to come to the one who knows exactly what it's like to be as human as you are. Now, what else do we have to do? It's coming to Him again. "Cast all your cares and your anxieties on Him." Listen to 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. "Cast all your anxiety." The word anxiety is also fears or worries, that those things that we think about. Remember Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Don't worry about tomorrow." Most of us are worried about tomorrow. He says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, because it's going to have enough trouble on its own. Just you know, be concerned. Think about today. Think what's happening right now. Don't worry yourself about tomorrow. So we've got to cast all our care and anxiety on him. In other words, come to him with the weight and say, all right, Lord, you're my unloading dock. You know, you back the truck up. You get to the loading dock and you unload it. And you say, Lord, I wasn't meant to carry this stuff. I wasn't meant, Lord, to carry all of the pain and the frustration. And I wasn't meant to carry the fear that I am possessed with that just seems to overtake my life. Lord, please, Lord, you got to take it from me. And I got to let you know that he is a merciful and faithful high priest. He will take it from you. The final way that we unload this fear, we lose the weight of fear, is to believe that if he is for you and with you and in you, then you have nothing to fear. Let me say that again. You got to believe that if he is for you, he is with you, and he is in you, then you have nothing to fear. Listen to what Psalm 27 in verse 1 says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know what David's saying? If God is with me, he is in me, he is here to help me, then why am I going to be afraid of anybody else or anything else? The Lord, he says, is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why am I going to fear those? And he says in another place, I'm not going to fear the tens of thousands who've drawn up against me on every side. David was a warrior. He was envisioning a battle and envisioning being surrounded. And he says, even if I'm surrounded, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because God is with me. Brothers and sisters, he says in the Bible, in so many different places, he told the disciples, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. He told us in the Word, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He lets us know that he will never, ever leave us, brothers and sisters. He will not give up on you. He will not bail out on you. And when we come to that understanding, we don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear the unknown. You don't have to fear the things that you think are going to happen. You don't have to be afraid of it, because you know why? You've got a God who is with you and he's on your side. And it's not about whether or not you were good enough, because there isn't anybody in this building who is good enough. There isn't, he doesn't respond to your righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags before him. He responds to faith. He responds to our belief that we're going to believe in him. We're going to hope in him. We're going to trust in him. Now, don't mix it up and say, well, God, you got to do it this way. And if you don't, then I can't have faith in you. You got to let God be God. You got to let God do what it is that he sees is right for you. Can we bow our heads this morning? Before we leave this building, we're going to pray today. We're going to pray that the Lord would help each and every one of us. I cannot even begin to imagine that I would need to give an altar call to anybody today for just select individuals who struggle with fear. I think today all of us struggle with fear at one point or time in our lives, at one juncture in our lives. It could be today that you walked in and you're so afraid of what tomorrow holds. Maybe you're so afraid of that visit to the doctor. Maybe you're afraid of, you know, seeing your landlord today. Maybe you're afraid of what's going to happen on your job in the next couple of weeks. Maybe you're afraid of what your financial status is. You could be afraid of all kinds of things. Maybe you fear. And listen, when I talked about those phobias earlier, I'm not making light of anybody who has a fear. I'm telling you, you cannot put me higher than a 2 or 3 stories with an open edge before I begin to feel like this is not where I need to be. I get that. But I'm not even talking about phobias. I'm talking about just the overwhelming sense of fear that sometimes overtakes us over things that we imagine might happen in life. The Bible lets us know that you don't have to be afraid. Over and over and over again, he tells his people in his word, don't be afraid. Do not fear. do not fear. When they're faced with trouble, do not fear. Why? And on almost every circumstance and every encouraging word that he tells them, don't be afraid, he tells them, because I'm with you. I'm with you. He will let you know he is with you. Brothers and sisters, he is with you today. I want us all to stand right now. And I want you to reach out to the Lord in the closing moments of this meeting and say, Lord, I need your peace, your sweet peace to sweep over my soul. I need your peace to come right now and minister to the fears of my heart. You know what it is. I don't need to know today. You don't need to come to me and confess anything because, you know, I have to turn around and confess to you. This week I was afraid. Last night I was afraid. This morning I was afraid. There are all kinds of things that we can fear. And yet the word of God is ever so true. We got to hope in the word. We got to hope in what God has. Right now, just say, Lord, I'm afraid today, but I'm not going to trust in what those things are. I'm going to trust in your overpowering greatness, the supremacy of your greatness, oh God. Right now, just reach out to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, today, as we close this meeting, oh God, I pray that you would help us as a body of believers, Lord, to confront our fear, oh God, whatever it is that we're afraid of in life, whatever the problems might be, oh God, I pray that you would help us, oh God, in the name of Jesus, never to fear, oh Lord, but to always look up, always to trust, always to have faith, always to believe that you're with us, Lord, that you do not forsake your people. Dear God, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, we would go to your word, that we would run to you, O God, and, Lord, begin to unload that weight of fear, O God. I pray that we would cast all of our cares on you and our anxieties on you because you care for us, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray right now, O God, that you would have your way, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, how we need you. How we need your touch. We need your help, oh God. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for your people that you would encourage them today, lift them up, and Lord, strengthen them, oh God, in every way. Lord, we love you and we thank you, oh God, for all that you have done, Lord, in the wonderful and precious and mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor, oh God. You're worthy of all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Just turn today and greet each other in the joy and the love of the Lord today. Amen.